our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my series on a flawless chronology. I'm fascinated with the ways in which God times things and guides people and speaks to people. People have asked me, does God ever speak to you? My answer is, He's never spoken to me audibly except through other people. I hear His word through other people. But God has many ways of giving us His messages. One of the most important ways, of course, is as we read the Bible and He speaks to us. And I would hope that there are some small boys listening who can identify with Samuel and imagine what it would be like if you were given the great privilege of living in the temple and serving a man of God. Well, that's what happened to Samuel. You remember the story that his mother had prayed especially that God would give her a child, and she promised the Lord that she would give that child back to Him. And she did. She kept her promise. And the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. And then one night he heard this voice, which he thought was Eli. And three times he ran to Eli and said, "You called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." And finally he realized that it was God who was calling him. So God revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. In verse 21 of chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, it says, "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there He revealed Himself to Samuel through His word." We can expect that if we are determined to be obedient to God, He will, in one way or another, reveal Himself to us through His word. That's one reason why we need to be faithful in reading our Bibles, listening to what God has to say to us. Have you ever thought through the life of some godly person that you have known, or perhaps whose book you have read? And when they've died, you've looked back and seen this wonderful thread of God's flawless chronology, the way He timed things and brought about situations and events which shaped that person's life. In the book of Samuel, we read that the Israelites were defeated by the Philistines. And the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat?" God allows bad things to happen to good people. And let's not forget, He allows lots of good things to happen to bad people. We puzzle over that, don't we? Sometimes we don't understand God. Well, who can understand God? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and there are many things that are really none of our business. But if you stop and think, you know that God allows bad things to happen to good people, and He allows good things to happen to bad people. And the Philistines were bad people. They were the enemies of God. But you can imagine how delighted they were that they had won the fight. They were the conquerors. But the Israelites feared that it was because the Ark of God was not with them. Don't confuse the Ark of God with Noah's Ark. The Ark of God was a sort of box that was in the temple, and it represented the presence of God. So when the Ark was not with them, the Israelites, of course, feared that God was going to do something dreadful to them because the Ark of God was not with them. In chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, we read, "When the Ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. And hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, 'What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?' When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. A god has come into the camp, they said. We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines, be men, or you'll be subject to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Be men and fight. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Well, the news that Eli's two sons had died killed him. He was 98 years old, and he fell backwards off his chair and broke his neck. The Bible says he was an old man and heavy, and he had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law was pregnant, and she went into labor and gave birth to a boy and named him Ichabod. And then she died. Ichabod is a strange name, isn't it? It means the glory of God has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured. Now, there's some amazing incidents of God's timing, his flawless chronology. The Ark was put in the temple of Dagon. Dagon was a heathen god, and Dagon was destroyed, and the people got tumors. And the Ark moved elsewhere to Gath, and they got tumors again, and they panicked. And then the Ark went to Ekron, and they panicked again, and the Ark returned with a guilt offering. This is very complicated, isn't it? We can't follow quite all of this, but I'm skipping a whole lot. And there were two cows that had recently given birth to calves. They were hitched to the Ark's cart, and the cows headed for Beth Shemesh, Israel's territory, proof that God had sent disaster. This was a sign to the people that God had sent disaster, the fact that these cows had chosen to go toward Beth Shemesh. So it was not a matter of chance. In chapter 6, verse 19, we read, "But God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord." They were not supposed to do that. The people mourned because of the heavy blow that the Lord had dealt them. And the men of Beth Shemesh asked, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?" So the ark was sent to Kiriath, and other gods were put away. Now, I hope you'll stay with me here. So then the people of Israel had a great assembly, and they prayed, and they confessed their disobediences to the Lord. And then the rulers of the Philistines came to attack them. There's one of those things that God permitted to happen. And Samuel prayed and sacrificed. This is now in chapter 7, in verse 9. "And the Lord thundered so that the Philistines were routed and slaughtered. And Samuel became a circuit judge." It says, "Samuel continued as a judge over Israel for all the days of his life. And from year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also judged Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. When Samuel got old, then the elders of Israel came, and they said to Samuel, 'You are old, and your sons are not walking in your ways. So now give us a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.' And the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. They have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you.' Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take the tenth of your grain." And he goes on and on telling the people of Israel all these terrible things, things which he surely doesn't believe that they really want. But this is what is going to happen if they insist on having a king. And he says, "On that day, you are going to cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we shall be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." Well, tomorrow we're going to have an amazing story of God's timing, what we would call coincidences. I hope you'll listen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.